Introducing Coco Gauff's signature shoe, more than just a tennis shoe. It's a fusion of 90s-inspired style and cutting-edge performance technology. With its sleek mid-cut silhouette, it's designed to enhance speed and power on the court. The multi-piece upper construction delivers high-energy return for players of all levels. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just starting out, the Coco CG1 empowers you to dominate the game. Learn more and purchase the Coco CG1 at NewBalance.com.
It's the first European Red Clay Masters 1000 of the year, and we have a whole week of end of play TC Lives to see whose dreams are still soaring and whose dreams have faded like the dusk on the Côte d'Azur. Here's what's coming up on the show. Day two action from Monte Carlo saw some headline acts enter the fray, including a two-time champion, as we continue our road to Roland Garros. Yannick Sinner is here with clay, red hot, red hair, and it's red alert for the rest of the tour, as the only person hotter than Sinner is Danielle Collins. We reflect on her perfect 13 in 19. Magnificent in March, awesome in April is Danielle. Welcome to the studio alongside Paul Annacone, and on Zoom is the multimedia mogul, Andy Ruddock.
Wow, multimedia, that's a tongue twister. I like that, Patch. Good stuff.
Andy, welcome. Great podcast of the weekend, but more importantly, Monte Carlo, not a place that you really frequented that often.
Yeah, it was mostly because I'm not good on clay, Petch, and never was, really. but for me, it was scheduling, right? I needed to make sure that I had everything ready for that run kind of through Wimbledon. So I would stack in, you know, November, December, get a bunch of work in, play pretty tough schedule through Australia, through Miami. And then I would go back home and try to get the body work done that would kind of push me through July-ish.
Yeah, not a place that the Americans have really done particularly well in the Open era. No champions here. A few runners-up, Paul.
Yeah, it's been a little bit challenging on the red dirt in Monte Carlo. Still one of the most beautiful places. I thought Andy didn't like to go there because he was afraid of the casinos. He wanted to stay away.
But... Hey, you do know one of the facts about there, that the non-resident, or actually the residents there, are not allowed to go to gambling.
There you go. Okay. Yep. Good to know. Good to know.
Anyway, it's been a terrific day, obviously, at Monte Carlo in terms of some of the tennis that's been played. One of the players that was out there today is a two-time champion, of course, won in 2021, defended his title magnificently against Davidovich Fokina, and he was up today against Laszlo Jere, Andy.
Yeah, and this is a big tournament for Steph. Obviously, is going the wrong way down the rankings, a place that he has played so well before, as you mentioned, winning it two times. He needs this event just about as much as anyone. And sometimes when you get back to a place that you just feel a little bit better, and Steph obviously looked great in that first set, coming forward a little bit more today, which I like to see him. I like to see him when he's proactive and not reactionary, but able to give himself plenty of space, can get that lift under the ball that maybe he's not allowed to get on some of the faster surfaces. Repeatedly asked the question today and came up on the good side of it more often than not. But it's nice to see him kind of in free flow. Obviously, has to be one of his favorite places. And Jere said, no Moss for this one. Tsitsipas moving on to round two.
Already a little bit of a curveball I gave Andy there, but I really wanted to do that because the one-hander was in action, and Paul Annacone, you can talk so beautifully about the single-hander.
You know I want to talk about Grigor Dimitrov. I mean, one of my favorites. So good to see him playing such great tennis at this stage of his career. Just one of the best athletes out there still. I think he's continuing to improve, continuing to try to play terrific tennis, and he can play on dirt. He won a tough first set here, 7-5, but after that really kind of kicked it into oversize. Love using the slice backhand, but with the athleticism, still able to flick the open stance one-hander, which we don't see a lot of. But for Grigor, so much of his game is about confidence, and even more is about when he's able to get to the net. Really has deft touch up there, can do so many things, and I think on this surface, when he's playing his best tennis, he's finishing coming forward. He's not in a reactive mode, and that's exactly what he did to seal the deal today, 7-5, 6-2.
Yeah, never easy to make the transition from hard courts to clay, but Grigor doing it nicely at home, of course, the place that he makes his base in Monte Carlo, and it's Golden Grigor this season. 21 wins already, just the 5 losses. Picked up his first title since 2017, but more importantly that, he's mixing it and beating the elite. Returned to the top 10 for the first time in 260 weeks. It's been absolutely brilliant from Grigor. Big shout out to him. It's been... Andy, from a point of view of how much further can he go, is it this era where we obviously see Novak kind of orphaned at the top of the tour in terms of the big four? Does he have an opportunity to potentially win a major?
A major is a big step, but let's focus on what we like from Grigor, right? His volume of makes on returns has gone significantly up, right? He's not dumping first serve returns, and he's giving himself some space, mixing it up, whether he goes in on the chip a la Paul's old guy, Federer, or kind of giving him some space to kind of let it rip. But also, I think his shot selection when coming forward, right? He's being incredibly proactive, even in Monte Carlo today, on the dirty stuff, got in a lot, but getting in on his own terms, volleying great, but he's picking and choosing his shots better. Sometimes because he has so many options, it can get a little bit confusing sometimes, but I like kind of the nuance between when to go in and kind of when to be patient. I think he's kind of riding that fine line really well right now.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing that Andy talks about is what happens at the big moments, the shot selection. Sometimes the guys with the most choices, it's the most difficult. The best players of all time seem to have a default mode in the big moment. They know what they want to do. And if you're someone like Grigor Dimitrov, where you can do a bunch of different things, it's tough to know in those big moments what to do. And historically, that's been a little bit of his hurdle. If you talk purely about skills, there's no reason he can't be around latter stages of majors. And if I were him right now, seeing the exit of Roger Federer, seeing Rafa kind of hurt, Novak a little bit of a hiccup, I'd be licking my chops saying I still have a chance to do well in a big major. But right now, like Andy said, focus with the task at hand one day at a time, and he's making great progress.
Yep, no question about that. One player that hasn't been making as good a progress at this stage of the season, of course, is Novak Djokovic. Back in Indian Wells for the first time for a long time, and it was a bit of a disaster in the desert for Djokovic. Luca Nardi, the lowest-ranked player to ever beat Novak at a Masters or at a Grand Slam under the lights there in Indian Wells. Well, for him, the expectations have risen, and up against Ože Aliassime, Andy.
What do they say in Wizard of Oz? We're not in Indian Wells anymore, Petch. Listen, it's easy to do it for a night. It's harder to do it for a lot of days and nights. And FAA kind of showing, Artie, welcome to the main tour. This is what you wanted. This is what you get. Be careful what you ask for. FAA in full flight today was kind of, I say when he's in full flight, I kind of call it bully ball. He gets that big grunt where it's like it sounds like a man, like a bear. But digging it out of the corners, that shot was just ridiculous from the bottom of the screen. I just like that he was getting the shot that he wanted most times. Right here, good footwork, playing to the shot that Nardi gave him. Served well. Listen, it all goes with FAA's first serve. If he's down around 50% first serves, he's going to struggle because the volume of his errors creep up by virtue of that. Today, he was making a good amount of first serves and getting that first ball inside the court right there, Petch, and kind of able to hit it both ways. That one he pulled in. FAA looked real good today.
Yeah, he certainly did. Maybe a force to be reckoned with in Monte Carlo. A couple of Frenchmen one German and one Frenchman, of course, Manarino pulling out. And it was a it was a walk in the park for Arthur, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. He was creating great space. I always say you can tell someone's playing well when the winners they hit are kind of just natural progressions of the point and not just kind of, you know, blindly opening your shoulders. This could have gone badly if that would have... you don't like seeing someone doing that thing and landing on one foot when they're up 5-0, but I digress. I'll defer to Anacone on that one. But Arthur Fies needed to kind of roll in a match. I expected him to kind of insert himself into the conversation a lot earlier in this season. So he needed one where it kind of felt like a downhill snowball. I like the transition game today. Hoffman just felt like he was stretched on every point, right? It felt like he was just grinding to get out of corners. 0-2, lopsided victory, but Fies needed it.
Yeah, maybe the fact that he went down on the golden swing to South America going to help Arthur Fies out. That's what we have at the moment, top six Frenchmen. And, of course, the garnish here is a place in their home Olympics that they're all fighting for as well, Paul.
Yeah, exactly. And when you look at this, there's a sprinkle of some great golden agers in Manarino at 35 and Fies at 37 years of age. But I tell you what, Arthur Fies for me, guys, at 19 years of age, 36 in the world, has the most complete game of them. I think he's got an opportunity to do some special things. Who knows what's going to happen when expectations change, when his landscape changes, and he's got to do it at the highest level, and his life changes. This year, we've seen some terrific things happen from Hubert, right? Hubert starting to really believe in himself, capturing a title, using that big lefty game. But I actually think Fease is the one that's the most talented myself.
Andy?
Yeah, I mean, I think the upside is there. I mean, he's 19 years old, and he already looks like a linebacker. The body's there. The swings are a little bit long. I'm curious how those adjust on the quicker surfaces. But Ugo Humbert, let's give credit where credit's due. On a fast surface, he's probably one of the best 10 players in the world. When it gets a little slippery, I wouldn't look to him to dominate the clay court side of things. I think it's going to be a long slog until he gets to the grass and starts licking his chops again. But listen, unpopular bit. Gael Monfils has been playing great.
There we go.
Right?
He's there like every week. I'm glad I didn't say it.
And listen, I know we like new and shiny things, but Gael Monfils has looked great recently. Kind of sneak last summer, what is he, 220, 230 in the world? He's up to 40. Listen, if he was 19 years old, we'd be celebrating and taking victory laps. Don't sleep on Gael Monfils.
Yeah, my biggest thing for Gael is how healthy can he stay, right? On any day, he's going to give everybody nightmares. Still one of my favorite players on the tour and one of the nicest people on the tour as well. But can he do it over a major for seven matches, 3 out of 5 set? I hope so. I mean, I hope he never stops. Every time the guy plays, I still sit there with a big bucket of popcorn and lick my chops. It is so much fun. He's electricity, and it's great to see his confidence back.
Yeah, he's no question a big plus for the tour. Was it a big plus day for the Brits? That's where we're heading next.
Uh-oh. Careful, Patch.
There's already a spoiler.
You're in trouble.
There's a spoiler alert coming up from Miss Danico. And exactly, best of the Brits, it was not
a good day.
Introducing Coco Gauff's signature shoe, more than just a tennis shoe. It's a fusion of 90s-inspired style and cutting-edge performance technology. With its sleek mid-cut silhouette, it's designed to enhance speed and power on the court. The multi-piece upper construction delivers high-energy return for players of all levels. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just starting out, the Coco CG1 empowers you to dominate the game. Learn more and purchase the Coco CG1 at NewBalance.com.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
One of the most picturesque stops on the tour coming from Monte Carlo. And for our T2 audiences, coming up on Tuesday, we have a couple of cracking matches. It's almost as though we plan this schedule to talk about Monfils and Fease, and then we hand them to you on a plate on Tuesday at 8 a.m. Eastern. Gael taking on Jordan Thompson. He'll be heavy favourite on the clay courts to get through against there. Musetti with a win over Taylor Fritz, taking on Artur Fease in the second of those two matches on T2. Leif Sharas and Jan Michael Gamble will be taking you through that. We're going back to the 5 square kilometres of money, where it is Karen Khachanov taking on Cam Norrie. Paul, you were watching.
Yeah, this was a bizarre one. It really was. It was a tough day at the office. A lot of errors for both of these guys, but it was Khachanov at the big moments playing the best tennis. Cam Norrie faced 15 break points and was broken 5 times. It was a bit of a seesaw match in that first set. Khachanov served for the first set, lost serve at love, but found a way to break again and get through that first set 7-5. And it was Cam Norrie that had the chances in the second set. And Khachanov said, wait, guys, just give me a little love. Let me get back into this. Hold serve after fending off some set points, gets into a tie break and just played power tennis. Was crushing the ball. Look at the big score lead there. 5-1, big forehands, offensive shots, beaten by pace there was Cam Norrie. But it was Khachanov just at the big moments, played a little bit better. And Cam Norrie struggled with serve percentage and success rate on both first and second serve. Nice effort from that man, though.
Yeah, Norrie out. Jack Draper could go past him this week as British number one. And Andy, it looks as though we're in the epilogue of the Evans career.
I don't want to see him play badly on clay pitch because Jim Courier, when he was playing well here a couple years ago, came up with the name Dirtball Dan, and I do not want to give that nickname up. This was not what you needed to see. Offner, it felt like he was on his front foot in pretty much every rally. The old Dirtball Dan was trying to go to the chip, but he was just kind of leaving him hanging in the middle of the court. I felt like Offner was, even if he was losing points, he was getting what he wanted. Like right here, he's able to dictate and distribute as much as he wants. He catches him against the movement a little bit there. You know, Dan, to his credit, like he always does, tried to mix it up. He's very good at losing more than one way, and I mean that in the most complimentary sense. He will grind, he will fight, but that one's just not going to get it done on the pro level. Just he's feeding him forehands in the middle of the court with that chip.
Was that a backhanded compliment, though?
No, we Brits are very good at losing number of ways.
No.
See, many ways, we can lose.
Okay, because I was less talented. I always lost one way, so I just lost one way. But I lost a lot, but I lost one way. Evans is talented. He can lose a lot of different ways. I like that because he's trying to create ways to get offensive and create imbalance.
Well, I will say, Paul, and I mean this with the utmost respect, if he would have moved around the court like you, he would have only been able to lose.
That's right. Just go one way. No, but linear.
But I did, it was a little bit different back then. That was pre-Luxalon, Cone. That wouldn't have been. Those strings wouldn't have done you any favors, I promise.
We were just skiing into the net. There was no movement right or left. Let me just throw it back a little bit to Cam Norrie. Andy, I just wanted to ask you. You made a big statement last year. You said he believes he could be world number one ahead of Wimbledon. He's tried to change his game. We saw it in Australia. He was coming in a lot more. At this stage of his career, it's a big thing to do. It's admirable, but is it working?
I think he played pretty well in Australia. And I'm not going to base the comparison on him saying, I think I can be one in the world. I want to be we all want to be number one in the world, right? Like sometimes it's just that might not be totally realistic. But I have nothing but respect for Cam Norrie. This court today does him no favors, right? He can't mix up the trajectory on his back, and he doesn't have a natural chip, right? And if he can't kind of pin someone in that corner, hitting that backhand cross and moving it down the line, he has that loop for him. There was just nothing easy to be gotten against Khachanov today. Wasn't able to move him off the baseline. But Norrie, listen, he fights, he tries. I don't mind him exploring different ways to play like that, but not his way today, and it's going to be tough sledding through the clay a little bit.
Yeah, look, I think it's tricky for Cam because he is such a student of the game, but he also doesn't have any one big weapon. He's got a lot of weapons, but not one thing. So everything is hard work. Everything is laborious. Everything has to be strategically set up well and, more importantly, executed really well. And like Andy said, one of the biggest problems on this surface is the difference between the high, heavy forehand and the flat, penetrating backhand isn't as vast. He doesn't get as much help on this surface. And usually because of those two strike zones, he gets you uncomfortable really often. Not able to do it today against Khachanov. And I think for Cam, it's just a matter of getting back to work. He's going to think things through. He's going to find ways to be creative. He's going to find ways to maximize his potential. And I think the progression will remain positive. I think the ceiling's still there for him, but there's still plenty of work to do.
Yeah, still plenty of work for Cam Norrie, still plenty of work for a lot of the players over in Monte Carlo and for us as well. We've got these results for you. Sumit Nagel, the first man from India to qualify at the Monte Carlo Masters for over 42 years. Paul Annacone used to play that particular person. Ramesh Krishnan the man, a throwback to the past. And then we've got a little bit of Popperin getting through in a tight match against Moutet. Safulin takes Djokovic. We are going to wonder how Danielle Collins pulled off the Miami-Charleston double. I'll tell you what, after this, we'll tell you how.
Welcome, American Danielle Collins.
The American continues to bring the intensity, the fire, the fearless play.
The Danimal rules Charleston.
Well, the roll just keeps on going for Danielle Collins.
It is 13 wins in a row now for Danielle Collins and her second title in back-to-back tournaments.
Yep, Atomic Collins continues the run. 13-match win streak. It's been absolutely magnificent. But look at that, 26 out of 28 sets. That may be the most impressive when you think that she's picking up top 10 wins such as those along the way. It has been super impressive. Nobody's done the change of surface from hard to another one since Hallett won in Nuremberg on the clay and then Ross Marlin on the grass back in 2013. Special achievement, and she caught up with Steve Weissman afterwards.
After the week that I had in Miami, to come out here and to be able to kind of back it up and compete the way that I did and be so focused and just carry that momentum forward, it's a really rewarding feeling. And the support that I had this week with all of the fans and the support staff here, it's just incredible. And it means a lot because this is a player favorite event. It's a big event. And you know, like I said, it's one of our favorites. So to come out here and put on a great show each match. It's been a lot of fun.
Andy, not something I knew a lot about, but forgetting how to lose is a pretty nice thing, I would imagine.
I don't know much about it either. Certainly not on the level of what Danielle Collins has been doing. But you ready for the player comp that I've seen with her for the last couple of weeks? Do you remember a guy named Andre Agassi who would stand right up on the baseline, take your time away, take big swings? I know Cone loves this one. Aggressive swings to big targets. That's what Collins has been doing the last couple of weeks, right? Not missing second service returns, making first serves. The air count has come way down. It no longer looks like a heart rate monitor. It's pretty level. It really impressive stuff going from the hard to the clay. I always say you can't choose when you play well, and I think you have to maximize when you do. The question going forward would be, what's her schedule going to look like? How big of a rush is she in to get over to Europe and see if she can't continue this momentum?
Paul, if you were working with her, what would you say to that?
I would say very little. I would say just keep going, having fun. Yeah. You know, I think the idea is, and one of the hardest things for a player is to time when you play well, like Andy said. And I think a couple of things happen. In my opinion, at this stage in her career, in her life, so much of it is about the mind leading the body. I think she's freed herself up by saying she doesn't want to play after this year. We've talked about with her the health and well-being reasons why she's not going to play. It's not because she's frustrated with what's happening. It's for health and well-being. And so that being the case, she's kind of released a little bit of a pressure valve so she can go out and have fun. And if you want to have fun, but you're also an unbelievable competitor like she is, when you release the pressure valve, these things can happen. And now she's just riding that wave of momentum, and it's been a lot of fun to watch. Where it ends, I don't know, but I'm going to have a front row seat to watch because it's been a lot of fun so far.
It has. It's been electric, a little rhythmic violence attached to a tennis ball. You can't beat that. And where has it slotted into in terms of the race for the season? That is a little special, isn't it? Number four in the race in terms of the points that she's picked up. Of course, this is Swiatek's season, this part of it. It's not long on the clay for the women in terms of big tournaments, but she tends to get out there and grabs the majority of the points. Where Collins plays next, we do not know, but of course here on Tennis Channel, we will let you know. Coco Gauff's in there as well, and a lot of the American women vying for places on the team as we take a little look at the social media this week. And of course, a lovely moment here with Jannik Sinner up with Arthur Delard, who was playing with Jannik ahead of his match out there. He has cerebral palsy. He has another disability as well. And it is a remarkable thing, Andy, to see not just Jannik out there, but some of these tennis players these days that are able to do so much on the court.
Yeah, it makes me happy that one of the rare times this season where Jannik is the second most inspirational player on the court. Good on Sinner. And you know what? Good on Delay for hitting with Sinner. He's the hero here. Look at this fortitude. Look at the way that he loves the sport. And also, as tennis people, look at the gift that this gentleman has now because of this game and the inspiration he's able to provide someone like a Jannik Sinner. Good on Sinner. He's not missing a lot of notes these days.
Yeah, it's just great to see people that can keep things in perspective for us. This is a win-win all the way around. And for me, this is the epitome of Jannik Sinner. He is a great tennis player. More importantly, he's a really good guy. And to give this opportunity a chance to happen, to be out there and have a good time, to me, it is checks all the way across the board.
Yeah, lovely moment for everybody in the world. Tennis Delayed particularly is not going to forget that. Another man that's not going to forget too much is Ben Shelton, who picks up the title in H-Town. Although I do have to say here, they've got Brian's name up on that ball, but
strictly speaking, that's a bit of an asterisk because I'm pretty sure that was an exhibition event run by Billy Ryan back in the day at
really?
River Oaks.
Oh, does that count? Does
I don't know. I mean, okay. I'm not sure it does it?
Regardless, it doesn't matter. It's such a great thing. It's a great thing to see a father and son able to share a situation like this and for Ben to come through in his home country and play so well against a buddy, Francis Tiafoe, in the finals and capture that title. For me, it's just an amazing week and it's an amazing weekend for those players and great for Pops to be able to sit there and share that with Ben. That's awesome.
I'll answer that. Listen, Ben winning a tour event on clay and Brian winning an exhibition on clay. I love Brian Shelton. I talk to him a lot. That doesn't count. I'm sorry. This is a tour title. I don't care about the River Oaks exhibition. But good stuff. Good stuff for Ben. And also, like, Francis Tiafoe needed to win some matches. So him making final, getting through some tough ones, that's going to serve him well for the rest of the season. But awesome for Ben. First time winning on clay. First time winning stateside. The first of many, I'm sure.
Yeah, what was the most impressive thing for Ben's performance this week, Paul?
I think the fact to be able to carry a title like that and to get through some matches that he's supposed to win on arguably not his favorite surface. And also, at the end of the day, I believe that puts him as the number one American right now, which is something he's never held. I think that that's something, no matter what happens in your life, he can take that with him. Whether he continues to build and move forward, we shall see. There's no reason he shouldn't. But number one American right now after winning a title, that's great.
Yeah, it's been pretty impressive. I know he worked so hard on the European clay last year. Didn't get the results he wanted, but they're already packing in 2024 for Ben Shelton. We've got a packed schedule for you tomorrow coming up. Live tennis from 5 a.m. Eastern from the Rolex Monte Carlo Masters. TC Live will be at 1 p.m. Eastern. There's an encore coverage following that. We'll be back with a special hot shot and the rest of the matches for tomorrow as we look forward to those. Welcome back. Is this a hot shot, Andy, or lukewarm?
It's warmish. You know, it's early on in the clay court season. I don't know that we're in full flight yet. Nadal is only one D away from winning the French Open 14 times, apparently, but saves his face and then comes up with a passing shot. And then he asked the crowd, he's either saying, wasn't that amazing, or why am I down 4-1 in the second set? I don't know which one he's asking, but listen. Don't let it hit that pretty face. The intimidation. And then he says, listen, let's just put me on Tennis Channel. Put me on Tennis Channel.
That's so good. 5-7-1-4. Give me some love.
Well, the featured match is coming up for you tomorrow. This is what we've got, 5 a.m. Eastern time. Set your alarm clocks. Get up early. Nice to see Matteo Berrettini picking up his first win since 2022 in Marrakesh on the clay. Novak back in action in a place that it's been a bit hit or miss for him, Paul.
What a day we got tomorrow. Yeah, Novak has struggled a little bit. Safelin with a nice win today. And how about Matt Berrettini playing some great tennis?
Certainly is. As we take you back to Monte Carlo, and we're going to hear from Danny and Prakash as they preview tomorrow's matches.
All right, Petch, back here at our Tennis Channel FanDuel desk. Pete, not a lot of Americans in this draw, but Sebi Korda does have a win against Alejandro Davidovich Fokina, the only time they faced each other back in 2022. Can he get it done here in Monaco?
Well, I think the clay is going to favor Fokina, even though Korda has had some good results on clay. His first big breakout was at RG, and he beat Carlos Alcaraz here. But I think the former finalist, Fokina, I think a little bit too strong on the stuff. I lean towards the Spaniard, but I think it'll be tight.
The winner is going to play Jannik Sinner. Just keeps getting tough here. Going to be competitive matches across the entire grounds. Looking forward to the action on Tuesday.
Yeah, thanks to Danny and Prakash doing a wonderful job over there in Monte Carlo. Paul, talk about Sebi Korda. Always feels as though he's already done well, but it still feels like the fuse is lit and it hasn't completely detonated yet in terms of his career.
That's what I think. I think he's a great player. I think he's had some health issues, particularly last year. But in terms of the solidness of his game and weapons, the combination, he's got them all. He just has to stay healthy. He's got to get out there and play a bunch of matches and put himself in a good situation. And like Prakash said, he can play on every surface. So that'll be an interesting one watch to see how it lines up.
Andy?
Yeah, listen, every time I watch Sebi Korda, I think he's a top 10 player, and then I look at the rankings and it's not there. But like Paul said, he's a complete player. I would love for him to get some more free points on that serve. Obviously, pretty tall guy, 6'4", 6'5". Sometimes the errors come in bunches. Not dissimilar to like a center from 4 years ago, right? Where all of a sudden he would be down love 30 in a serve game, and you would wonder what happened. So Seb is super intelligent. He's super well-versed, tennis IQ. Obviously grew up in a tennis family. So I'm still a buyer on Seb overall.
Yeah, I think we're all still buyers. One person that we definitely bought throughout the course of his career, still out there right now, Andy, is Stan Wawrinka. Yep. This is the only place that he won a Masters 1000. That period with the Big Four, they were incredibly greedy, weren't they?
I have no idea what you're talking about, but this one should be interesting with Demon Noor, right? The clay is obviously not going to be his favorite surface. We like to give him credit for being a retriever. His ball flight is aggressive. He hits it pretty flat off of both sides. It's just going to be a matter. Stan likes to throw uppercuts, and if he lands a couple, he'll knock you out. I like Demon Noor just based on the consistency of season, but this surface will do some favors in this matchup for Stan, I think.
Yeah, it's a great matchup, and Demon's playing some great tennis, the best of his career. This is not his best surface. This is, I think, Stan's best surface. This gives him his best chance in these conditions. The question is, like Andy said, will those uppercuts land? Because Demon's going to do some great scrambling and use those defensive skills. But I'm going to lean with the old timer.
Are you?
I'm leaning Stan Wawrinka, guys. I don't know why, but I'm just leaning that way.
We're going full retro on Tennis Channel. We've got Gael Monfils, we've got Stan Wawrinka, and we've got more tennis coming from 5 a.m. tomorrow Eastern Time on Tennis Channel. We'll be bringing that from Monte Carlo, where 1 in 3 residents are millionaires. A little bit like the ratio in the studio. More tennis to come. See you there.